There's a lot to unpack here.
Welcome to Super True Stories. We suffer through and report back on the worst and weirdest documentaries you can stream. I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt. And OMG.
OMGIHB?
I guess. Yeah, that's a new thing. This week, what I found for the Hunt family is, oh my God, it's Herod Blank. It's described as an obsessively made documentary filmed over 16 years, exploring the creative life and adventures of Herod Blank.
I mean, I guess that's technically accurate.
It is accurate. I really only needed to read the description and watch the first maybe 7 minutes to know this was going to be a gem.
Yeah, it takes a big swing pretty early in.
It sure does. It sure does.
So it's 1994, and we meet a guy named Herod Blank. He has just appeared in People magazine. He's famous because he made an art car.
Yes, an art car that we soon learn is named Oh My God.
The reason it's named Oh My God is because that's how people react when they look at everything crazy that he's done to this vehicle.
So it's a very creatively named car. It's sort of like my mom's teddy bear that she grew up with that was black and blue that was named Blacky Bluey. When I was born, my name was Baby until they literally had to pick a name for me in order for me to leave the hospital. I feel like my mom has a lot in common with Herod Blank.
There was a point where like they were getting ready to put you in the corner and they were like, well.
You haven't even seen Dirty Dancing, which we have explored on this podcast.
Yeah, but I can still make the cultural reference.
I call foul.
Well, it's appropriate because right away we learn that Herod was raised with chickens. And is this the fourth film you've picked that has chickens in it?
I promise our listeners that I am not obsessed with chickens.
I'm not sure that I believe that.
It just, chickens seem to attract a certain kind of person that makes great documentary fodder.
They seem to attract you. Remember this. I have something for us at the end in our What Did We Learn segment.
All right. Or we could just rename our podcast Chicken Documentaries.
Yeah, Super True Chickens.
Right? Super Chicken Stories.
Oh, there we go. Herod says,
I grew up having a chicken coop in the backyard and I spent more time with my chickens than I did with people.
And then we meet his friend Kevin.
He grew up in the mountains. He didn't really see a lot of people or hang out with people like myself until we were in like seventh grade. You know, the only women that were around him was his mom. When I first met him, he had a big chicken coop. And then when he moved down to Santa Cruz, he had a big chicken coop. And he used to play with them and talk to them. I guess they're the only ones who understood him for a long time.
I think that chickens may be the only ones that understand Herod today. But his mom is legit hot.
Yeah, we see a bunch of footage of her from when she was young, and yeah, Herod's mom has got it going on.
Yes, and Herod does too, which I'm sure we'll talk about a little bit more, but yeah, Herod's mom is a good-looking lady.
Yeah, then he meets Laura. I think she was basically the first woman that he saw when he made it to civilization.
I think that's the first non-mom, non-chicken female he encountered.
Yeah.
And Laura friend-zones the heck out of him.
She sure does. They didn't have sex, and of course, he wanted to have sex, so he was frustrated, but she was not going to sleep with him. So the way that he dealt with this was by writing poems.
We use the term poem loosely.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't rhyme.
which, listeners, we know not all poems have to rhyme.
Well, no, but I'm just saying, it probably would be worse if this were some sort of like, had like a limerick rhyme scheme.
Yes.
Because this is the poem that we get to hear from him.
I'm happy now, sitting here alone, wet, killing mosquitoes and watching the cars go by. Everywhere around me, there are maggots trundling aimlessly across the wet cement in search of a corpse. If the ones on the cement only knew they were pursuing death itself, that is how I am, perhaps, in pursuing Laura. Like a worm that has been torn in two by a dumb punk kid, I wriggle in agony, blood and internal juices spilling from my severed ends. Like a worm that has been run over 100,000 times by Mack trucks, I feel desperately hopeless, confused, lost.
There's a lot to unpack here.
This doesn't seem like the kind of poem that's going to woo a girl.
No. When I want to be attracted to a person, I rarely want to think about maggots or worms or Mack truck. Really, any of those items. Or apparently Herod.
He says that he does this to get her attention. It's not something that's going to woo.
As we're talking about this, I'm thinking about chickens eat worms.
Hmm.
Is this some sort of like he saw this work for a rooster sometime? And so he's applying it to his own love life?
I don't know. He started focusing on his car. Like, I'm going to get the girl out of my head. I'm going to focus on my car. And at the time, it was called the Rasta Bug. Then he started painting chickens on the driver's door and started attaching a bunch of objects to the car. And it became, oh my God.
And there's a lot of significance tied to the chicken on the car. It's like his entire life changed once he painted that chicken on the car.
The major breakthrough, because I've been dreaming about it for years. Finally, I accomplished it. That was the chickens.
And he has like chicken noises that play on a speaker while he drives the car around.
It's weird.
It is super weird. I did find a bit of nostalgia because he has those spinny sunflowers. If you're over probably like 35 or so, your mom probably had them in her garden. And he has those attached to the car. Honestly, when I see art cars, I admire the dedication and the commitment to kind of ruining something that costs thousands of dollars.
In his defense, it's an old VW bug. So it was probably worth more like hundreds of dollars.
That's true.
We then get this weird footage of Herod. It's 1985. We flashed back and he's naked in a bathtub writing in his journal. And he says that he wanted to be a writer, but he was rejected. So he changed his major to film. And we get a clip of Herod's student film titled In the Land of the Owl Turds.
Who wouldn't sign up to watch that blockbuster?
Yeah, it's it's rough.
That's generous. We see Herod acting in this film.
That's generous also.
Yes, I'm putting air quotes around acting.
What's the pin for?
Oh, that represents my past. I grew up with chickens.
And then he kind of comments afterwards, sort of sheepishly, I think.
Personally, I like my acting style, but I'll admit it is a bit ham-boned.
That's insulting to ham bones as well.
That's insulting to ham, it's insulting to bones, and it's insulting to ham bones.
Just the whole spectrum.
It's bad. But then, to me, the biggest surprise in this documentary comes next. We get interview footage with Laura.
Yes.
Tell me about you and Herod.
Well, I mean, Herod is an incredible poet, for one. His poetry really did move me.
And as she says this, the camera is panning over his journal, and here is one of the paragraphs. Here I sit, beside this decaying parrotfish that perhaps once swam by us, realizing my love for you will never be received, rather wasted, realizing all my dreams for us must perish. How I beg for death, how I want to lay my weary body down to die and rot beside this gruesome fish. And as that is in the background, Laura says,
I remember, in fact, when I got his first poem, it was, oh, I think I love this guy.
Then she's like, and then I spent time with him.
Yeah, she says that she spent more time with him nagging him and trying to like beg him to shut up. Right. He was all over the place. The intensity of his emotions exaggerated everything. And so she was out.
Yes. And From what we see of Herod, I find that legit.
Mm-hmm.
So then the documentary cuts to his mom, who is, I would say, bemused by Herod.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, Herod used to think he was weird. And then she mentions that one of the things he used to do...
When he'd meet a girl, he would always come out with, you know, showing them his dead cat.
Like, is his mom trying to say, like, he thought he was weird, but he wasn't. He was just doing something like showing his friend a dead cat? Or is she acknowledging that showing your girlfriend a dead cat is not the way to go?
The other piece that I was wondering about was, like, how long has this cat been dead? Is there just one cat?
Right.
Are you keeping it somewhere? And then what level of decay is this cat likely in?
How many girls saw this cat?
Yeah.
Is it a picture of the dead cat? Is it the actual dead cat? Why would you think a dead cat would pick up a chick?
Yeah, I wouldn't be friends with this kid. Like, oh, I went over to Herod's house and he showed me a dead cat. Guess who I'm never hanging out with again?
Somebody does that and you slowly back away.
Mm-hmm.
No sudden movements. And then you never return their calls again.
So next we get to meet his current girlfriend, Alexis. And she talks about how when she went to Herod's shack, because he does live in a shack.
It's almost more like a shed.
Yeah, shed is a better word. She noticed that he had a photo of a naked black woman and some Bob Marley art and a mural of a black farmer on the wall. And through this discussion with her, it came up that he thought that his girlfriend was white when she's black.
Yeah. How are you, like, super into black women but not know that your girlfriend's black?
The footage is a little hard because it's like old 90s with the lighting. I wasn't totally sure what race she was, but I'm also not somebody who has been dating her.
It was weird. And his friend Kevin, who I guess we should also point out is black, is just like, oh, that Herod.
Yeah.
That said, Herod is a good looking man. I'm just going to come out and say it. He's a good looking man.
I mean, he looks very 90s. He looks like he, like, walked off of, like, In Living Color or something.
Or, like, a 90210 extra.
Oh, yeah, maybe there.
And Kevin's like, you don't need any help picking up girls. You are 6'3". That's all a girl needs to know. I kind of agree with Kevin. 6'3" makes up for a lot of things, apparently including showing a girl a dead cat.
Yeah. We get to meet Karen, who is the girlfriend that he had taken the photos of. And I guess that's thanks to the fact that this documentary, again, contains footage shot over, like, how many decades?
1,000 years.
Right. The interviewer and Karen have this exchange.
Are there any things about him that you don't really like?
In some areas, I guess he's lacking, and etiquette's one of them. And just, you know, rules in general that most people know and follow, and Herod just doesn't follow them.
How do you feel about Herod, you know, in the long term?
Long term?
I think we're all Karen in that moment.
Yes, we are all Karen. Then we learn that Herod is super obsessed about going bald.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really seem to be going bald. And he chalks that up to rubbing egg in his hair.
Yeah, he says that that gets protein into his scalp.
I'm not sure that's how it works.
It's not helped by Kevin, who apparently teases him about going bald all the time.
I like Kevin.
I do too. He has a full head of hair.
Yes. Nice, thick hair.
If you're that obsessed about something that silly, you should have a friend giving you some grief about it.
That's the whole point of friends. Now, as I'm thinking about this, he's rubbing egg into his hair.
Oh, another chicken thing.
Right.
Dang.
This might be another part that needs unpacking.
Herod says that after he got out of college, his goal was to make a feature film. So he moved into what he describes as a girl's playhouse. And based on the footage, it literally is.
Yes.
One of those things that you put in a backyard in a sandbox.
Yes. It's like 4 feet tall.
And he had a girlfriend staying with him.
Yes.
And that lasted until the winter. So this went on for at least weeks, if not months. I don't understand any of this.
It's a thick head of hair. It's 6'3". And I guess the chicken painted on the car.
Well, I never had a chance.
No, you didn't. You're tall-ish.
Yeah, and I guess I could paint a chicken on the car. The relationship doesn't last, though, because it gets cold. He gets pneumonia. Yes. And so the girl dumps him, and he moves into this shed behind his father's house. And he's been there, living there ever since.
And the ever since seems to be at least a decade.
Yeah, because I think the farthest that this documentary goes is into like 2007. So that's a big chunk of time to be living in literally a shed.
And I'm not talking about like a she shed or a man shack or anything like that. It's just a shed.
Yeah, it is not big.
He's like crouching as he goes to the door.
Yeah, this is not like tiny house level of nice or anything.
No, it's a shed that he's dragged a airbed into.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if he still lives there.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, he got into the shed and he decided it was stupid to try to make a film with no money. So he decides he's going to make a documentary film about art cars. And that's where Wild Wheels is born.
And I watched a little bit of Wild Wheels.
Hmm.
And it's kind of, here's somebody and they talk about their art car. And then here's somebody else and they talk about their art car. And it's not bad, but it's not particularly well executed either.
It kind of seemed like he was just going and trying to kind of collect art car artists for his film in a way.
Right. Like he didn't really seem to have like a plan laid out. He just heard about an art car artist and found the person, interviewed them, and then heard about another art car artist and did the same thing for like years.
Yeah, he doesn't really make any money at it. He gets tens of thousands of dollars into debt. Kevin refers to his movie as a brokumentary.
Yes.
And it sounds like eventually the best he does is he kind of gets to a break-even point where he makes back most of the money that he spent on it.
Right, so he can go back to his shack without having the shack repossessed, I guess.
I guess. There is a quote from Herod that I kind of like, though, where he's talking about the art cars.
If you do something to the godlike car, it riles people's feathers, it gets them going, and it makes people think. It's like we're screaming out for the right to be an individual, and the pressure that's combating us are these advertisers telling us to be a certain way, telling us to drive a certain kind of car to be successful, to attract a woman. Get a car that looks good and runs good, that's new. Have the kids buy a house, make the secure nest. It's an illusion.
I kind of start to think through as I watch this documentary that there are things about Herod as an artist that I kind of admire.
Yes, like his anti-commercialism message is appealing, and I agree with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you stop and think about the vehicles we all drive, they're all basically the same. And there's no individuality, and you're not expressing anything really with your car. I actually really do appreciate people who take the effort to make an art car.
Mm-hmm.
I think it could have been a really interesting documentary, but it wasn't. And we see a snippet of the type of interview that he does because he has this guy called Spoon Man.
Yes.
Who he interviews. And Spoon Man is Boomhauer from King of the Hills. And he's a lot of Dangle and Reckon. And and he kind of has some interesting points there, but he never really digs into the idea of like individualism and what that really means.
Yeah, maybe it goes deeper in his Wild Wheels documentary, but it doesn't go deep in this documentary that I guess is more devoted to Herod.
As I'm sitting here and we're talking about this, I still am amazed that there's a whole documentary devoted to Herod.
Yeah, it's a weird call.
Yes. So then we meet Herod's dad. We learn that his dad is a fairly famous documentary filmmaker who got his start making those industrial films in the 60s. But then his dad starts making documentaries, and that's how Herod gets into it. But then randomly crammed into the middle of this is a reenactment of an interaction that Herod and his dad had.
Yeah, Herod is playing himself. Is that actually Herod's dad? I wasn't sure.
I think that's actually his dad. And Herod is playing himself, but like his child self, but he's an adult at the time that this is filmed. So it's weird.
It is. So you've got this elderly man laying on the couch, and Herod was bored.
I had this pin in my pocket, and I took it out, and I started tickling his nostril hairs. And he woke up in a jolt, and the pin went shwunk up his nose. And I pulled on it, and all this blood gushed out, and it was everywhere. And he was really pissed off.
God damn it!
And he gets up, and he starts chasing me out the door. And I was playing basketball at that time, so I could easily outrun him. And he ran after me for about 4 miles.
Huh, I call bullshit.
That seems like a Paul Bunyan-level tall tale.
Right. It was probably like out of the house to the shed. But yeah, why? Why? This is the only reenactment in the whole documentary.
This whole documentary would have been better if it had been reenactments. Instead of doing like 20 years of archival footage.
Yes.
So Herod says that he gets along well with eccentric people. And he thinks that he got that from his mom.
And I think that's a safe bet.
Mm-hmm.
As we learn a little bit more about his mom, she's really, really attractive. And to kind of rule out guys that are just into her because she's attractive or to ward them off, she acts weird.
Mm-hmm.
And then finds that that's something she enjoys, basically, and decides to be a weirdo, I guess.
Well, and also still attracts guys despite the fact that she's weird.
I mean, she was legit hot. Like, she should have been modeling,
mm-hmm.
which I think maybe she was.
I'm pretty sure that she was because she talks about how Herod needs to separate himself from the car as something that was part of his youth. And she says it's like a model who is known for her beauty. And then when she gets older, she has nothing unless she cultivates something else like her creativity. And as she's saying that, we get footage of her making some pottery.
And all of her pottery has a ton of boobs.
Yeah, every single piece that she makes seems to have some sort of nude representation on it.
I'm not a prude, that's cool, but it is, it's a lot. And then that sort of segues into Herod doing some nude photography with his current girlfriend, Alexis, where he puts ladybugs on her. And I kind of was like, okay, this is going to go sideways, because this guy writes poems about maggots. But then it kind of turned out all right.
It's weird that he's writing poems about bugs and then he's putting bugs on his girlfriends.
Yes.
Herod says he's leaving his Wild Wheels documentary behind him and making a new art car. This time it's a van that's going to be covered in old cheap cameras.
That van was legit cool though.
It really was.
Like super, super cool. The concept was cool. It looked cool.
Well, and then what he did with it was cool.
Yes.
He mounted like 2,000 cameras and then he had at least one working camera. And he says that part of the reason that he did this was because he wanted to capture people's reactions to seeing his van. And he thought if he covered the van with cameras, it would distract people. They wouldn't know, is any of this real? And he'd get real reactions from people when he actually took their picture.
The photos are really cool, very artsy, but like in a really artsy way and not like a maggots crawling aimlessly on the sidewalk kind of way.
Maggots trundling aimlessly across the wet cement in search of a corpse.
And he talks about how now that he's done 2 art cars, he feels like he's perceived as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like the work he does on the second car is elevated above what he did on the first car. The first car, it was kind of like a bunch of sort of chicken-themed junk sort of attached to a car.
Kitschy.
Yes, very kitschy. This one had a concept. He pulled it off really elegantly.
It struck me as kind of funny that he was so dismissive of people saying that he was an artist when here he was doing something that absolutely, I think, was the work of an artist.
Yes. I could see reading about this and being like, wow, that guy sounds really, really cool. And as much as like we're kind of making fun of the weirdness of Herod, creativity and genius and weirdness often go hand in hand.
Yes. Here's to the crazy ones.
Exactly.
Well, speaking of crazy, Herod takes the vehicle down to Houston for this big party and art car parade. While they're driving down, Herod gets bored, and so he climbs up on top of the roof of the van while it's driving down the freeway to take pictures of other cars. the people who were caravanning with him are like, oh man, that's not really like safe. Shouldn't we like duct tape you to the roof or something? And he's totally dismissive of those concerns, even as his clothes are being like torn off of his body by the wind.
This documentary could have easily ended with a in memory of Herod Blaine. Because like, they're going at full highway speed.
Oh yeah.
This is where madness and creative genius intersect. Because I bet the photos are amazing.
Oh, I bet the photos are super cool, but it also is like one step shy of a Darwin Award.
It really is.
All of this starts getting Herod some legit attention. He gives a presentation at an art museum. They have him be this guest curator for this automotive museum in LA. And he starts to make some money doing all this stuff. And then he says his dad and Alexis, his girlfriend, say that he's selling out.
Right.
Because now he's motivated by money. And it's like, now he's motivated by money. Now he might be able to afford to move out of the shack in his dad's yard.
That was baffling.
I sometimes get upset with Herod because I feel like, who am I going out with here? A businessman or an artist?
And he's hustling. He's trying to monetize his art. And I don't see anything wrong with that.
No.
He needs to move out of his shed. He needs to, you know, have HVAC and electricity and...
And a bath.
And a bath. It blew my mind that his dad and his girlfriend found this to be unappealing behavior.
Yeah. Well, Herod is working 12, 15 hours a day. He's got a site that he launches called artcaragency.com. And that site is still running today. There's one blog post on it from 2010.
Yes.
But there are a lot of cool looking cars on it. But Alexis and Herod break up.
Poor Herod. He finally gets his shit together, and his girlfriend doesn't want someone with their shit together. She wants a dude that lives in a shack and rubs egg in his hair.
And makes chicken noises.
Yeah, because there is a whole part of this documentary where he is making these like really obnoxious and annoying chicken noises.
He's a clucker.
He's a clucker. And so you're kind of like, I bet he does that all the time at home. But that wasn't what drove her over the edge. What drove her over the edge was he started making money.
Yeah.
He doesn't really ever have what I would say is a job, but more like a whole bunch of side hustles, including wearing a suit made of flash cubes.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's not the worst job you could have.
He says he likes attention. I mean, he's basically found a way to make a living getting attention.
Yes.
He says,
as long as what I create makes other people happy, it makes me happy. I feel like I'm a part of the world. I feel like I'm doing something positive and my life has meaning. But you know what? I'm too far gone as far as living a normal life. I can't go back now. I'm me. And that's all there is to it.
I respect that too.
Yeah, there's some good sentiments in here. That said, this is not a good documentary.
No.
The fact that he has some words of wisdom does not make up for the fact that this is like 16 years of random footage of him, interspersed with clips from his student films that are just terrible.
There's weird pieces to this, but I still think that like it's probably more on the weird side of the equation than it is the worst.
I'll say that's fair.
And yet you disagree.
And yet I'm thinking about the scenes where he's clucking like a chicken, the reenactment. If you want to watch a documentary with some great reenactment, you need to watch The Natural History of the Chicken.
Again, I do have some payoff for all of this chicken discussion, Jamie.
Okay. Is this time to ask you, what did you learn?
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't fucking know either.
I learned that back in like the 50s and 60s, camera manufacturers put lead weights into the cameras to make these cheap plastic garbage cameras seem nicer than they were. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I did not know that.
I would probably be fooled by that. The other thing that this documentary caused me to think of in a different way, there's this shot around 13 minutes in where they talk about Herod and his girlfriend, and it cuts to audio of people moaning as the camera pans over a rubber chicken until it gets to the head of the chicken, and the chicken crows. And I had never before equated a rooster call with having an orgasm, but...
You can't unsee it now?
Well, I can't unthink it now. So between all the clucking that Herod was doing and the fact that we have a rooster in our own neighborhood, it's kind of hard to shake this connection.
Oh. So I'm going to go ahead and say that what I learned is that a lot of people who are weird and or the subject of bad documentaries also are involved with chickens.
Chickens have a siren song for weirdos?
Yes, I think that chickens might be somewhat equivalent to Bigfoot in terms of the type of person that's drawn to them.
If you're drawn to a chicken, you're this type of person?
Maybe you're not like a specific type of person per se, but there's going to be something kind of off about you. You're going to be like either interested in hot tubbing in the nude with a chicken, or you're going to somehow connect chickens to sexual noises, or fill in the blank.
You're going to be on a podcast where you keep thrusting chicken movies upon your husband?
Interesting use of the word thrust. It's like chickens are everywhere I go now. I can't shake these chickens.
I can't remember like the art for this. Like, can you see that he's got chicken stuff?
Well, yes.
Did that help you select this?
I mean, the art for this movie is a drawing of a chicken with the head of Herod Blank wearing a hat. And he's got a camera around his neck, and he's standing on top of a globe that has a nude woman on it. And then there's a road with a car with a spinning sunflower. So there was a couple of clues that this was going to be an interesting documentary. The thing that tipped me off was the head of a man on the body of a chicken. So sort of, I guess, yes, the chicken did play a key role in it.
You've got a type, I guess? Of bad documentary?
I mean, if you keep going to the well and getting delicious, delicious water, or if you keep going to the well and getting the weirdest beverage you've ever consumed, and you have a podcast about weird beverages, you're going to keep going to that well.
Chicken-flavored soda?
Ugh.
There's some brand of soda that does those, like, seasonal... You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like novelty flavors.
Yeah, they have like a Thanksgiving dinner package that has like stuffing-flavored soda and turkey-flavored soda.
There's got to be a documentary about those people.
Yes, we should go find it.
And you, dear listener, can go find us at Super True Story on Twitter or Super True Stories on Facebook. Or you can also find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, and we should thank Tomb Dragomir for the use of our theme music. It's Mexicana Massacre off of his album Instrumental Psycho Synth. And shout out to our podcast friends 6 Foot Plus and The Projection Booth. Great podcasts you should check out.
Absolutely. Which is unlike this film. You should not check this out.
No, this isn't really worth it. There's just not much to recommend here.
No, just put this documentary in the friend zone.
Oh, there we go. All right, well, tune in next time to see if Jamie finds another chicken-related documentary for us.
Now I'm concerned.
I'm going to be pressuring her to not have 2 chickens in a row, but no guarantees.
Oh, come on. You like chicken.
Well, until next time, I'm Dave Hunt.
And I'm Jamie Hunt.
Bye-bye.